And good afternoon and welcome back to Topical Currents for this Tuesday edition. Bonnie Berman here. And Joseph Cooper is on holiday. Today we look at mammography and the latest technology in breast imaging. It's called digital tomosynthesis. It provides a three-dimensional image of the breast, and recent studies have found that when it's used with standard mammography in a screening environment, it results in a significantly higher cancer detection rate and enables the detection of more invasive cancers at an earlier stage. Breast cancer does remain the leading cause of death for women ages 40 to 55. Joining us now in the studio is Dr. Neelza Kalos. She's a diplomat of the American College of Radiology and certified menopausal clinician. And in 1981, she founded Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami, which was the first multimodality breast center in Florida. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Kalos, and thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. And Bonnie, thank you for inviting me to be here.
And just a disclaimer before we begin today, we're only providing general information. We're not giving specific medical advice, and you'll need to consult with your own doctor for that. So, Dr. Kalos, what does that mean, the first multimodality breast center in Florida?
Bonnie, we started the breast center in 1981. And at that time, the American Cancer Society had not advised routine mammogram. Therefore, most of mammograms were done in a hospital, was just with a mammography machine. We put a center with mammogram, ultrasound, we would do needle biopsy. At that time, it was really very primitive, but we were doing needle biopsies, and we were aspirating breast cysts, and we taught the women how to do breast self-examination and examine there. And also, we would advise then how to be aware of breast cancer and how to prevent breast cancer, if possible.
Right, if possible.
Yes.
And so why don't we look at the value of mammography in the early detection of breast cancer, just generally, before we get to the tomosynthesis. Of course, there's been some controversy as to what age to begin getting mammograms, how often. So what is the latest? What are the latest recommendations?
The American Cancer Society plus 40 medical societies still recommend starting the mammogram at age 40 and yearly from 40 on. And is different from the United States Preventive Task Force that in 2009 came with their recommendation. They say, talk to your physician between 40 and 50 if you should have a mammogram. And then after 50, every 2 years, and stop around age 74. That has a lot of problems. And
well, there's been a lot of pushback on those recommendations, hasn't there?
No question. Because 20% of all breast cancer is before age 50. There is nothing magic about age 50. And the task force, there was 16 people, physicians, nurse, epidemiologists, but none were expert in cancer. And therefore, they plug in the computer studies. And we have really very solid studies that show that we should start at age 40. And because the breast cancer is more aggressive in young women. And if 20% of women have breast cancer before age 50, what are these women going to do? And most of these breast cancers are in people without family history, without any risk factors.
That's what I was wondering, if these are high-risk cases or if they're just people that just have no history and...
Exactly. No history at all. There was a study done in upstate New York that they showed that most of people below age 50 that had breast cancer had no risk factors. Therefore, these people may die or have to have a lot of chemotherapy or mastectomy, and if the diagnosis is not made early enough.
Well, let's move on now to digital tomosynthesis. First, tell us what it is and how it works.
Yeah. Just one sec. Before we do this, the task force also said that a mammogram caused a lot of anxiety because the patients have to go back if the regular mammogram found something for extra views for ultrasound. Therefore, for 10 years, the scientists were trying to use another technique to see if they could decrease. A mammogram is very, very, the regular mammogram is very, very good in fatty breast when there is very little fibrous tissue. But in dense breast with a lot of fibrous tissue, the accuracy of mammogram drops significantly.
How much does it drop?
The accuracy in fatty breast is in the high 80s and 90s, in dense breasts, can be 35-40% the sensitivity. Therefore, drops a lot. Okay. And we can miss about 60% of breast cancer in that, small breast cancer in that patient.
And how common are dense breasts?
It's very common. But before menopause, is more than 60%. As the woman gets older, is still common. It's about 25% of women in their 60s, 70s still have dense breasts.
And why is it that they get less dense as a woman gets older?
It's hormones.
Of course.
Estrogen, especially if the woman is not taking estrogen, the density, the breast kind of involutes, and that's why it sags.
Oh, okay. Well, now we know why.
Yes.
So now relate this to the tomosynthesis.
Okay. Therefore, we wanted to find a technique that, especially in dense breast, we could see the cancer that may be obscured by very fibrous tissue, because fibrous tissue is white and that cancer is white. And when we do a regular mammogram, everything is overlapped. Therefore, white and white we don't see. With tomosynthesis, they do like a CAT scan. We take little kind of layers of pictures of 1 millimeter thickness. Therefore, if there is a cancer and there is fibrous tissue or dense tissue around, we may not see in one slice, but we can see in the other layer. Therefore, these are layers of 1 millimeter, and we can do in the medial lateral, that is from lateral to medial, or cranial cowl, that is from your foot to your head. Therefore, we know exactly where that the structure that we see is. And that's was tomosynthesis.
Okay, and other than the dense breast problem, what other problems or inaccuracies of mammograms or mammograms themselves are rectified by the tomosynthesis?
Okay, a lot of times when you compress the breast being a three-dimensional organ, we compress in one dimension, we overlap all the tissues, and benign tissue, when is overlap and get all together, can look like a spider or a star, and that is we worry about that appearance. Therefore, we have to call the patient back. the patient has the mammogram, then a patient has to come back another day and to have more like a spot compression view, that we compress that area and we move everything away. But this causes a lot of anxiety for the women.
Of course.
And that was one of the task force problems that caused too much anxiety. And sometimes we do unnecessary biopsy because of this. And tomosynthesis really decreases this significantly. And now the studies are coming, especially from Europe, that show a significant decrease. Like the Oslo study that came out in January of this year show a decrease of recall by 15%. But the American study show a decrease of recall by 38%.
And what about the decrease in biopsies, the number of biopsies?
The American study show about a 15% decrease in biopsies.
15%?
Yeah, 15%. And I think as we learn more about tomosynthesis, the biopsies rate would be lower.
Now, how long has this been used in Europe?
In Europe, since 2008, 2009. But FDA did not approve in this country until February of 2011. And that is still going very slowly because insurance doesn't pay for it. Therefore, it's an expensive machine and is a problem. Yeah, but everything with the insurance takes time.
Well, we'll discuss more about that. We are speaking with Dr. Nilza Kalos from the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami. We also have another guest that we will introduce shortly on today's Topical Currents. Stay with us, and we'll be back shortly. And welcome back to Tuesday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're visiting with Dr. Nilza Kalos from the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami. We're talking about the latest technology in breast imaging. It's called digital tomosynthesis. And if you want to join in the conversation, if you have questions or comments, the number is 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-WLRN. And email is radio@WLRN.org. So Dr. Kalos, we left off talking about the expense of the tomosynthesis. How expensive is it?
Well, it's more than $500,000. And the problem is...
You mean the machine?
The machine.
Okay. Not for the patient.
In average, besides the mammogram, in average in the country, they are charging about $50 to $60. It's not bad, you know, for the tomosynthesis. This year, we are not charging extra for the tomosynthesis because the first year, we don't have to pay service contract. Therefore, we are helping the patient with not charging extra for the tomosynthesis.
What does that mean, you don't have to pay service?
If the machine breaks.
I see.
And the contract
on the machine
is very, very expensive. It's about $70,000. And therefore, first year, we don't have to pay.
So if somebody just gets their standard mammogram at the office, you're not charging for the tomosynthesis?
Yeah, we do not charge.
So what are the statistics for tomosynthesis in detecting more invasive cancers versus just the 2D mammograms?
Yeah. The first study came from Oslo, Norway, and it was January of this year, and showed that with tomosynthesis and 2D, 2D is the regular mammogram. Therefore, regular mammogram and tomosynthesis, there was an increase of detection of invasive breast cancer by 40%. Then came other study. There was another study called STORM that was screening tomosynthesis or mammography, and also showed a increase of diagnosis of early invasive breast cancer by 52%. That was a study in Austria and Italy that was published in April of this year. And then in May came the first American study that was Dr. Rose in Dallas, Texas. And he saw that the increase of detection was 53% of invasive cancer. This is huge. And recall, you know, the false positive decreased by 38%.
And which is a big...
A big save money because the insurance doesn't have to pay for the patient to come back, save tremendous anxiety. And he also showed a 15% decrease in biopsies.
Biopsies.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we introduce our other guest now, Judy Sebastian. She's a patient of Dr. Kalos, and we want to welcome you, Judy.
Thank you very much.
So do you want to start, Dr. Kalos, by explaining about Judy's case?
Yeah. Judy was my first case that we just had to start doing the tomosynthesis in end of October. And beginning of December, Judy came for a routine mammogram. She had family history of breast cancer that she'll tell you. But when I did the regular mammogram, I did not see anything. I compared to the other one. But, oh, my God, when I did the tomosynthesis, my eyes, I just couldn't believe there was a typical cancer, looked like a spider. And I knew exactly where it was. And then I did ultrasound and saw a little shadow, and then I sent Judy for an MRI, and the MRI was not typical of cancer at all, and there was some enhancement in that area, but was not typical of cancer. Therefore, I said to Judy, "Come back after the MRI; we'll do a biopsy," and the diagnosis was invasive lobular carcinoma. And lobular carcinoma is really a difficult cancer to diagnose by mammogram up to now because it doesn't form a mass, and usually mammogram miss by 60% infiltrating lobular carcinoma. And since it doesn't form a mass, we don't see by mammogram. Usually, it's not the diagnosis not made until much later, when the cancer is already in more advanced stage, and usually is already in the lymph nodes, and the patient need not only chemo but radiation. Therefore, that was the beauty of Judy's cancer. We diagnosed very early, and she didn't need any chemo or radiation.
Yeah. So, Judy, and how are you today?
I'm very well. I've had a couple surgeries this year. I opted to have the bilateral mastectomy done. As you have heard, my mother was a cancer survivor, actually. She had two mastectomies at two different stages of her life, did not die from cancer. I've always admired that and understand the need of seeing the doctor and having your test done. Also, my daughter in her 30s, she'd already had the 3D mammography done with a surgeon in Boca, and she had been encouraging me to try to find somebody who did that. Having gone to Dr. Kalos for so long, I just couldn't fathom moving around, so I went back to her, and lo and behold, she had just gotten the new equipment. I didn't expect to find anything. Regardless of my mother's history, I feel I've led a different lifestyle from her, and she smoked her whole life, things of that nature. She had four sisters. None of them had it. However, I might tell you that with Dr. Kalos on that day, There was no question in my mind that Dr. Kalos knew exactly what she was looking at. And she actually said, this could be the luckiest day of your life. And they are really words that stick with me. They were the luck. It was. I feel very, very blessed to have found it when I did and be able to deal with it in the healthy state that I'm in today, rather than wait until a later point in time. And perhaps having had it being an invasive cancer that it was, maybe finding it a year or 2 years from now and having had it spread and actually having to go through much more in the way of treatments. So
you mean chemotherapy or radiation?
Exactly, along with the surgery.
Right.
And so every one of my doctors, every one of my surgeons and oncologists, they all agreed completely that we had done the right thing. And I think I'm on the cutting edge. I'm a cancer victim and survivor that the cancer wasn't found on many other tests. I think like just about everybody you talk to, nobody thinks they're going to get it, even if you go for the mammogram. So the idea that this test did find it, I saw it. What's more important is my doctor saw it and she knew what she was looking at. There was no delay in treating. I really believe it saved my life.
It sounds like it did. Is there a false positive reading from regular mammograms as well?
Yes, because of the superimposition of tissue, the overlapping of the tissue. Therefore, and sometimes we can clear by doing more views, like a spot compression. We just compress. If you put two sticks together, one on top of the other, you may make a cross. If you kind of press, one stick goes one way and the other goes the other way, we know that is nothing. And that sometimes we can smooth that problem. But there are false positive. And occasionally with the tomosynthesis, we see what we call radio scar. Radio scar is not really scar that when you cut something, but is happens with when the blood supply of that area of the breast is compromised, and we see by tomosynthesis sometimes. Radio scar usually is benign. Sometimes is associated with cancer. Therefore, sometimes when we see something in the tomosynthesis, we send to MRI also. If it's not in the MRI, we follow the patient.
Okay. And how's your daughter, Jenny?
She's fine, but she continues to monitor.
And how old is she?
She was in her 30s when this started. She's 40 now. And so, again, very young, and fortunately had found a physician in Boca, a surgeon, that had the 3D tomography. And so, again, was encouraging me to find it, but it's not that easy to find. And fortunately, Dr. Kalos had made the decision to get it, which she's the perfect one for it. She's, you know, dedicated her life to this, her career.
Right. Again, we're talking with Judy Sebastian. That was the voice of Judy Sebastian, a patient of Dr. Nilza Kalos, who founded the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami on today's Topical Currents. Sherry's waiting on the phone. We're going to get to you, Sherry, as soon as we take this short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you, visiting with Dr. Nilza Kalos from the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami. By the way, you have a website, digitalbreasthealthcenter.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
that's
correct.
digitalbreasthealthcenter.com, and we'll try to get a link to that on the WLRN on WLRN's page for Topical Currents, as well as the Facebook page. Why don't we take this call, Sherry? Again, the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576, or radio at WLRN.org, and we'll try to get to as many calls as possible. Sherry in Pompano Beach, welcome to Topical Currents.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, all of you. I'm a little piqued by what you were saying about the doctor was describing how these bright spots or stars. I've had to, I'm one of those dense tissue people, and I've had to go back every 6 months this past year into last year, from last year and into apparently into the next year to, I guess, to justify the, they keep taking these mammograms digital to justify these spots. So far, they keep telling me they're just areas of concern, but they don't see anything wrong. So, of course, that doesn't make me feel very good. My maternal grandmother passed away from breast cancer back in the 50s. I am 55 now. I just began menopause this year. I have my best friend is fighting stage 3 breast cancer, and since she was adopted, there's no alternative, but she's gone right into chemo at this point. Why doesn't the insurance cover a test? Somebody like me, I think this would be really beneficial instead of stressing me out every 6 months. And as some of us larger breasted women know, it is not the most pleasant thing in the world to go and get smashed all the time, to put it bluntly.
Sherry, insurance eventually are going to pay, but like everything, takes time. When we start doing digital mammogram, insurance didn't want to pay for the digital, but then they start paying. They don't want to spend money, but most of places, and you are in Plantation, there is a memorial in Broward, and there is a Boca Raton breast center that have a tomosynthesis, and they probably charge, I don't know if it's $50 or $75. Therefore, if I were you, even if you cannot afford, maybe you can pay installment there, but I would have the tomosynthesis. Also, it's important that I don't know if they do ultrasound on you if you have very, very dense breasts. The ultrasound is important. Tomosynthesis is important. And if they are concerned because of your grandmother, also MRI can be done. Therefore, and I would like you to also examine your breast. If you feel some changes, by all means, let your doctor know, because sometimes we, with the tip of our fingers, we feel something, and you are the best person to know if there is a change or not.
Well, that is how, I totally agree with you. That is how my girlfriend found her situation. I have not noticed anything different, in all honesty, and I go to a very large medical clinic, and I'll just say it's in Weston. Everybody knows where it is, mm-hmm. who it is. And I think they're very good, but it's just, this is torture. Not only that, it's not just torture physically. It's torture mentally, emotionally for me. Because then they don't want to tell you right away, and then you have to make another appointment to go down there. I work, and I don't work close to home either, and it's very draining. And when you already have a history, and I have, my dad was diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years ago, very unusual.
Your dad?
Yes, he is. He's going to be 84. He was just checked. There is a history of breast cancer on his mother, my paternal grandmother's side, not her, but she had 9 sisters and many cancers in many parts of that family as well. And so they took a piece, they took a chunk out of dad, and he hasn't had to go through any chemos or anything like that. I guess they got whatever little bit they got, and they checked him again this year, and he was good, thank God. But
Sherry, let me ask you one thing. Did he have the test for the gene?
No, he didn't, and I actually...
Is he Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he Ashkenazi. Really... Yes,
he
really needs to have the BRCA1 and BRCA2 like Jolie had. Mm-hmm. And if he's positive, then you have to be tested, because if you have the gene, you need to have an MRI every 6 months, and then you need really to sit down with the doctor and discuss the problem. But he needs the gene testing.
Okay.
And Medicare will pay.
Well, I did call my insurance, and I asked them about when I read the story about Jolie, and I asked them, I says, look, I've got it on both sides of my family. It doesn't mean I have it. I hope not, but I need to know, will they pay for this type of gene testing?
They will.
The insurance company told me they would, but, you know, they'd have to have some kind of, documentation from the doctor.
Yeah. Okay. They would pay because of your father.
All right, Sherry. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks very much.
And best of luck.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Dr. Kalos, in addition to Judy, how many other patients have you diagnosed using the tomosynthesis?
Now has been four that we diagnosed just with the tomosynthesis. We couldn't see in the regular mammogram. I had two. Each one of my partners had one. And one just had surgery. It was a half a centimeter. That's so tiny. Tubular cancer. Therefore, she'll be fine.
So can tomosynthesis in detecting this tumor at such an early stage actually obviate the need for radiation and or chemotherapy all the time? Or
Yes, except if we diagnose a very early cancer, except if it's a triple negative, that is estrogen receptor positive, progesterone estrogen receptor negative, progesterone negative, and HER2-new, that's a marker negative. These are triple negative. This is a very aggressive cancer, and we give chemo even in small cancer, but we can avoid chemo. As far as radiation, if we do lumpectomy, we want to do radiation because we want to be sure that all the cells are dead. There
right.
is no cancer cells left behind.
We have an emailer. This is Zara. She wants to know how a 3D mammogram helps in cases of dense breast tissue and benign cysts,
yes.
which we've answered already. Where a combination of annual digital mammogram and ultrasound have been recommended in the past. I think you've addressed that.
Right.
And her second question is, are there any more or less concerns with radiation with this type of diagnostic tool?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because when FDA approved tomosynthesis in the United States, they approved that we had to do tomosynthesis and the regular mammogram together. Therefore, tomosynthesis have the same radiation as regular mammogram, but if we have to do both, we double the radiation. But in May of this year, the FDA approved a software that we add each of layers of the tomosynthesis and make what we call a synthetic 2D mammogram. And this way, we would drop the radiation to the same amount of radiation of regular mammogram. Therefore, we do just the tomosynthesis and the computer, the software, create a regular mammogram out of
from the
tomosynthesis.
Oh.
Yes. Therefore, we were the first one that got in United States. We start using about a month ago, and I'm very excited about, because I think it's important to keep the radiation as low as possible if
of
the
course.
Patient is going to have a mammogram once a year.
What are the chances that insurance will cover this tomosynthesis?
I think it's a very good... I think tomosynthesis is what digital was about 7 years ago, digital mammogram. They didn't want to cover digital, and they were pushed to. And I think tomosynthesis... I think in the future, tomosynthesis will replace digital completely, and we would have everybody having tomosynthesis.
I have more questions about the cost, but let's talk to Murray, who's in Hollywood. Murray, welcome to Topical Currents.
Yeah, hi. Question, my wife had a radical bilateral mastectomy back in 08 and has had PET scans on a regular basis. And I'm wondering, is there anything other than that she needs to follow up with?
No. If she had a regular mastectomy, then she has no more breast tissue. It's good for mm-hmm. her when she goes to a hair oncologist, she or he would examine her. Because mm-hmm. Very rarely we have the cancer coming back to the skin or to where the scar is. But you will feel with your fingertips. Therefore, she does not need any mammogram or any other things.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Marie, for calling.
Thanks.
And it is Topical Currents. We're speaking about new technology in mammography and just mammography with Dr. Nilsa Kalos of the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami. Also, we're speaking with Judy Sebastian about her journey. And we need to take one more short break, and we'll be back. And thanks for joining us. Back at Topical Currents for this Tuesday, we're visiting, Bonnie Berman visiting with Dr. Nilsa Kalos from the Breast Health Center and Diagnostic Ultrasound in South Miami, and Judy Sebastian, who is a patient, a successfully healed patient of Dr. Kalos. And I wanted to ask about women with a history of breast cancer who have not had mastectomies. Would you advise that they get this tomosynthesis in addition to their regular protocol?
Yes, because this type of patients are in higher risk. Once you have one breast cancer, your risk of another breast cancer is much higher than the general population that never had breast cancer. Therefore, I feel these patients should, especially if their breast is dense or medium dense. But the interesting thing about Friday, we had a patient that had a fatty breast, and she had the regular mammogram, and everything was fine. When we did the 3D, she had a little cancer.
Oh, and she had fatty breasts. They weren't even dense.
Yes. Even in fatty breasts, the tomosynthesis worked.
Let me ask you, does the tomosynthesis replace ultrasound for dense breasts?
Not really, because there is some, if the cancer is still surrounded by dense tissue, even if we do slice, we may not see, and the ultrasound will see.
We'll see it.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, our number, if you want to join in, 1-800-743-9576, questions about mammograms or the new technology, digital tomosynthesis, 1-800-743-9576. I'm wondering if the cost of mammograms will change with the Affordable Care Act.
We don't know. There is, I think, a lot of pushing to do less mammogram, you know, every other year.
You mean with U.S. Preventative Services Task Force?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if the it would decrease, although one thing that was good about the Obamacare or ACA was that if you have mammogram or colonoscopy, you don't have to have met your deductible. Nowadays, since October of last year, mammogram, there is no deductible. Therefore, you can have the mammogram even if you have high deductible, and they will pay for. The insurance will pay for.
I wanted to go back to Sherry, who you were asking if her family, if her father has this BRCA gene. Will you explain that? I know Angelina Jolie has brought a lot of attention to it, who got a double mastectomy because she does have it. And just
yes.
For our listeners who don't know about
it. There are two genes that we know now. Is the BRCA1 and the BRCA2. And usually people that carries this gene have family history, usually from either the father or the mother side, does not matter, of early breast cancer in the or breast and ovarian cancer, or more than two or three people with breast cancer in the family, or man breast cancer. And also, if you are Ashkenazi Jewish, the general population, the incidence of the gene is 1 in 400 to 1 in 600. In the Ashkenazi population, is 1 in 40. Mm-hmm. Therefore, any woman that are is Ashkenazi and have breast cancer should have the gene. Or in case of Cherry, would her father, if there is one male with breast cancer, he should have the gene, and Medicare will pay for him. And then if your father or your mother have the gene, you have a 50% chance of getting the gene. If you get that gene from your father and your father had the gene, you will be gene positive. Therefore, if your parents have the gene, insurance will pay, and you should have the gene. And then people that have the gene will have the option if they're to be followed very careful. And in this case, we follow with mammogram once a year, an ultrasound, and once a year with MRI, intercalated every 6 months. Therefore, if we do in January the mammogram, we do in July the MRI. And then there is the option, like Jolie had, of bilateral mastectomy that we call prophylactic mastectomy. It's people that didn't have cancer and decide that they want to prevent completely. And the ovaries, because it's the same gene. If you have a BRCA1, you have 40% chance of developing ovarian cancer. And ovarian cancer is a killer cancer. And 28% if you have BRCA2. Mm. Therefore, people, we suggest that after you have your children, women that are gene positive have their ovaries out.
We have a lot of calls that have just come in, but we don't have much time. But we will talk to Raul in Miami. Yes. Raul, welcome to Topical Currents.
Yes, I wanted to know, for a machine that have digital detector and the patient is injected with radiation.
A mammogram. Now there is a PAM, that is a PET scan mammography. Or the digital molecular mammogram. And this is different. We should not use this instead of mammogram. Sometimes helps together with mammogram. But right now is a very high radiation. And I'd rather use, if needed, the MRI instead of that. But eventually the radiation will drop, and then will be helpful to in certain cases that we have a problem with the mammogram.
But I understand that they have better resolution and positive than the MR.
No, they do not. It's about MR is slightly better, and MR has no radiation. And it's not only the radiation to the breast, it's radiation to the colon and the kidneys, because it's excreted by the colon and kidneys. Therefore, it's radiation to the whole body.
Okay, Raul, we have a lot of callers in just a couple of minutes. I hope that helps. Thank you so much. And we're going to go to Barbara in Tamarack. She has a question regarding tomosynthesis. Barbara?
Yes, I wanted to know if the tomography, the 3D tomography, is the same as a thermography.
No, it's definitely not. Thermography is the temperature. And usually thermography is not done in any of reliable centers in the nation. Thermography has been done. It's mainly, holistic. And I am very holistic, but there was a study done at Bryn Mawr Hospital. Actually, I went I did my residency of internal medicine in Bryn Mawr. But they did a study, and thermography was good as throwing a coin. Patients that they knew had cancer, they sent to thermography. 50% was negative and 50% was positive. I do not recommend thermography.
For the breast, you mean?
For the breast.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll try one more very quickly. We'll go to Rosa in Miami. Rosa, we just have a couple of minutes. Not even.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Rosa? You need to turn down your radio.
We just have a couple of minutes.
Rosa, you need to turn down your radio.
There you go.
Okay, okay, go ahead.
I heard that the indigenous people in Panama do not develop cancer at all. And having that type of genes, have the doctor heard anything about it?
Not in Panama, but there are very different incidence of cancer. United States so much higher than like Japan. And it could be genetic, could be environmental. If a woman from Japan comes to the United States, after one generation, she has the same incidence as the American. The African American have less cancer, but when they have, they are younger and more aggressive cancer. It's genetics, and we'll know more. In India, the Parsis that was from Persia and Iran have a very high incidence of breast cancer.
But you never heard of any studies done in with indigenous people in Panama?
No, okay. I don't. But it would be very interesting. Yes.
All right, Rosa. Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Bye.
Well, we didn't get to DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, which we really wanted to, but there isn't so much time. Dr. Nils Akelos, I want to give out the information again, or you can give it out. Do you want to?
Yes. If some of you that went to talk to me didn't have the opportunity, my phone number is 305. My private line is 661-2603. And tell my receptionist that you heard me in the radio and you have some questions. Leave your telephone number and your name, and I'll call you back.
Okay, and the center is digitalbreasthealthcenter.com. And the regular number is 305-665-2223. That's the general number. And Dr. Nils Akelos, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been very informative and a pleasure to have you.
You're most welcome. I enjoy, and anytime. I love to talk to patients and to people.
Thank you for your time. And Judy Sebastian, thanks for joining us, and good luck to you, and I'm glad you're well.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. We hope you found the program helpful. Our producer is Richard Ives with technical direction from Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is the online producer. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. You just click on radio and proceed from there. More information as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program looks at the SHINE program of Florida, which is a statewide volunteer-based program offering free Medicare and health insurance education to people with Medicare and their caregivers, also to those with Medicaid. Also, Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining, when we'll look at the history of Miami cuisine from the Tequesta Indians to the present, and we'll taste some samples. Bonnie Berman wishing you a great day. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay tuned for Here and Now. Coming up next from NPR News.